all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
On this Monday morning, February 5th, 2024, welcome back live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network. Here with Greg Bach, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot on National Weather Person's Day.
Hold on.
You like the gift we got you? It was a very low-key collective woo.
Yes. So,
and some canned applause. I mean, we spare no expense.
And is weather
showing
even
our
real?
Appreciation?
All right, sorry.
That's the musical equivalent of a barometer right there.
Yes.
You guys are the best.
our gift to you is to continue just gobbling up your potential forecast time here. So before we get to that, it's a happy day. Are we supposed to get, how many barometers do you have now in your barometer collection?
I currently have 4 at the moment, but I used to have a whole lot more.
Yes. But you'll still, if somebody gifts you an unusual barometer, you still appreciate that?
Oh, I still appreciate it. 100%.
Okay. What's the most unusual barometer that you've ever bought?
Keep it clean, Brittany. Gifted?
I think it's the Galileo one.
Ooh.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's all on the mercury and floats. So the different temperatures you'll see.
Was it given to you
ball.
By just a poor boy from a poor family?
Okay. You know what, Pat, you're done. You're done. I'm kicking you from this whole thing. Kristen, this is your show now.
All right, everybody. We're going to have to tighten it up here.
Rob says, good morning. It's 22 degrees in Tigerton. He spent the weekend taking pictures around there for a book for the Tigerton Main Street Committee. We appreciate the input there. And from Roger, Three Dog Night and Petula Clark both belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Roger, that is a very excellent take.
Agreed, this is great. But,
who are you pushing back on, Pat Clark or Three Dog Night?
Three Dog Night, they're fine.
Okay, now you cut your mic off. Brittany, tell us more about the forecast coming up for this weekend. Warm.
Yes, warmth is still here for us. So we'll be a touch cooler today into the low 40s for our high temperatures. And depends where you live. There is a freezing fog advisory right now and towards the Fox Valley and Lakeshore areas where Clintonville, Wapaka, and Wautoma, your visibility is really low and you're seeing some slick spots out there this morning. So that continues until about noon. Then you'll start to see some clearing while the rest of us, especially on the western half of the state, we're starting off with sunshine, temperatures really starting to climb, and you'll hit the upper 40s for today. So where you get a lot more sunshine, you'll get the warmer temperatures. But overall, we're going to stay nice and warm into the mid to upper 40s for the rest of this week. And in fact, a few of us will hit 50 degrees on Thursday, but it's not going to be a pretty day. We've got rain rolling in Thursday and even some snow chances into Friday as well. But dry up until then.
We're getting to the point now where as it gets later and later, the odds of having one of those, 20, 30 below kind of polar vortexes, it's getting a little bit tougher that might happen. We could still, of course, get a blizzard pretty much almost up until Memorial Day, it seems. But, that supercharged cold air, maybe we'll get out unscathed yet.
Yeah, I don't see any of it at the moment coming towards us. The worst I see is low 30s by this time next week. So it's not too bad.
No, not at all. Well, Brittany, again, happy weather persons, meteorologist, great guesser day. We appreciate it all.
Wow, Pat.
I'll take it. Hey, thanks.
Now we've triggered my TV story. We had a meteorologist on staff who left his pay stub out one day, sitting on his desk. And I looked at it and realized he was getting the same pay that I was. And boy, did I let him have it on the air when that night he said something about a 50% chance of rain. And I said, No. You're a scientist. I can flip a coin. That's 50%. You got to go 51 or 49 from now on. And he took it to heart. I'm like, no, you don't get to guess. You got to pick one or the other. So, Brittany, I'm glad you've never given us a 50% forecast.
I really want to find this video of Pat Kreitlow just having at it on a meteorologist.
There are There are many of those clips, Selena. Would you not agree if we dug into the John Jetta library? That was
him in particular. Yes.
That was a guessing game.
Well, then I'm going to take this as a compliment that we have not had a run-in like that yet, Pat.
Oh, no. You might find this hard to believe. I was a lot more sarcastic when I was younger.
A lot more?
Listen to the silence. That's out there. See? Selena's got me on this.
We've lost a fifth meteorologist.
Oh, no. He gave as good as he got. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye, guys.
Oh, my goodness. We had some good times there, Selena, didn't we?
Maybe that's why I had to fill in during the weather, because we lost so bad. I had to do the weather. What?
Well, that's a whole different story. We'll save that. Let's get to the stories that you're working on.
What is going on?
I could make the maps. That was kind of the key.
I think that was kind of it, is that you were willing to learn and do that and, you know, did a great job on there. So, and now you're helping me out with Up North News and working on stories there. And we're looking ahead to Valentine's Day.
We are. It's coming up. Mm-hmm. Timing right around the corner. So, yeah, I talk to kids.
Oh, I can only imagine.
So yes, I was in Black River Falls, and it was my old elementary school, my own elementary school. So that was kind of fun, but it's all remodeled, so it looks completely different than when I was there. Mm-hmm.
And how did they feel? What did you ask them about Valentine's Day?
Well, I think this one coming up, I kind of asked them. Let's see, it was, how do you show someone you love them? And this was a boy and a girl sitting together. They kind of came out in pairs. I talked to about 30 kids and asked them all sorts of questions. You know, how does it feel when somebody loves you? But then this particular little boy and girl, William and Morgan, happened to kind of have a little love connection, I guess. But it's questionable. It's very questionable. So,
you're predicting that this one may not last.
Well, you hear from William, and then we'll see. Okay,
tell us more, William.
If there's a Valentine's dance, I'll go with Morgan for sure.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. What do you think about that?
No. I'm mad at you.
We're fighting. Oh.
So
she's like, no. But then I continued on. Like, he just was very, very stuck on this. I was kept asking him other questions, and he just kept going, but if you like someone, that's what you do. And he kept telling Morgan, he's like, but you told me you liked me before, and that doesn't even make any sense. And then he's like, but I drew you pictures.
Oh, my. Oh,
yeah. I am just so happy I don't have kids.
This is the youngest I've ever heard somebody get friend zoned. It's really tough to hear. I'm hoping for the best for you, buddy.
Pat's having flashbacks right now.
Maybe this will be a breakthrough for himself on who he is as a person, how he presents himself, and what he wants. What does he want?
Damn, you're good, Bach. You know that?
Yeah.
You get it. You get the human condition.
I've been dumped a lot.
Well, this is a deep Monday morning that we're having right now.
We're going different places.
I know. What else did you get out of it besides the happy couple that insists on not being a couple?
I learned that, you know, I said, what do you love the most? A lot of them said, my mom and my dad, kitties, unicorns, my playing games, was a lot of it too. So that was a variety. But they're very cute in how you show people that you love them. A lot of hugs and drawing pictures for them.
Very nice.
That's good advice.
And I'm sure we'll get into this next week as well, because that'll actually be Valentine's week. But I mean, kind of talk about it now, because people need to start like making dinner reservations or, you know, getting gifts or whatever the case may be. Kristen, with your four boys, are they hopeless romantics around Valentine's Day, or are they like, you know, are they like, Mom, don't? I don't want it.
No. One of them actually said that somebody had posted something about Valentine's Day coming up, but it's not even for like a long time in the future. And I said, you know, it's in like a week, a little over a week. And they were like, I know, but why now? And I said, well, there, some people do planning and they buy gifts and there are, you know, dances and things like that. And they were like, yeah, I don't get it. No. they're dudes. They're just, they're guys.
I was going to say, yeah, he may have to find out the you know, the hard way.
He's going to get dumped sometime. A lot. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
For the record, that is my son who is known as Little Pet Kreitlo.
So. What? We don't have to.
What?
Oh yeah, my youngest son is Pet Kreitlo as a young child.
Oh,
I actually brought them together at a Culver's once and like a portal opened up in the universe. It was really nice.
Sounds like a non-custodial parent visit or something in the parking lot of a Culver's.
We have ourselves an occurrence, two universes have collided and they're collapsing upon each other.
It was weird though. She kept saying, "Oh my God, he looks like you when you were younger," because I showed her a picture of me, and yet spitting it, I meet Little PK, and yes, it was like PK. Looking through a little portal.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. We shouldn't really scare people like that. So Kristen, Thursday, you'll be back with Women Win Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we are going to have Alicia Saunders and Kelly Peterson, and it's going to mm-hmm. be just a great little conversation. Really looking forward to it.
Okay. I want to get that out of the way because the last thing I want to say, just in case it makes me and Selena a little emotional here. Roger types in, one meteorologist I held in high regard was Jim Riggs, who was a longtime morning meteorologist at Channel 13 before he passed away from cancer. And he was one of the bravest and best people that we ever met. So, Roger, thanks for making us all emotional. But on this Weather Person's Day, it's good to remember.
I worked with him every morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was wonderful.
He was. He really was. All right, Kristen, thank you again. Have a wonderful week. Start to the week. We'll see you Thursday morning.
Have a great week, and everybody.
On the other side of this, Selene tells us more about the story she's working on for Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back. I got to go way back and see where what year this was a hit, because this was the number one song this day in, here it is, 1977, Mary McGregor's Torn Between Two Lovers. Selena Heller, Greg Bach back with us now. And Selena, let's see, Greg, did you get the other clip I sent over to you just now about the young man and Valentine's Day?
No.
Or the young lady, rather?
No, I did not. It isn't loaded yet. Oh. So.
Oh, you're right. It says it's got 3 seconds left. 2 seconds. Boy, this took a long time to upload over here. It's
probably Monday morning.
It probably paused to listen to that cheesy song from 1977.
Between two lovers, play me like fool.
He's buying us time.
Exactly what I'm doing. Perfect. Thank you.
Just
you're
in
welcome.
Time.
It's called professionalism.
Yes.
Because it's loaded so now.
Yes, and so why don't you set up this little clip for us, Selena?
Oh, this was another how do you show somebody you love them? And then one of the other questions for this little girl, I said, what do you love about yourself? And she was the cutest, and she said, everything.
But I loved her answer to
confidence is infuriating.
Yes. How do you show somebody you love them is right.
Yep. So let's hear her answer.
Can you tell me what other ways can you show somebody you love them?
You can try like giving them compliments. Like, I like your hair. I like your dress. I like your earrings. I like your shoes. I like your sweatshirt.
Oh my gosh.
I like your makeup.
Yeah.
She's good on the compliments, man.
I'm like, oh, that's so nice.
I'm sorry. Anybody's having an off day, you go find this little tyke and you say,
your shoe game is on point.
and the video of her, like, she's like, I like your hair, and she just, her arm gestures are just wonderful, and she's just got her whole self into these comments that she talks of, and I just wanted to take her home with me. She was the cutest.
That's awesome. And we'll hear more of that next week. But getting back to some of the other stories you're working on for Up North News, you got a couple of Wisconsin teens taking part in the Winter Youth Olympic Games. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they were in Gangwon, South Korea. And so last week, they were in this Youth Olympic Games. And two kids from Wisconsin, two teenagers, one from Eau Claire and one from Wausau. And they were a mixed doubles curling team. And they won the bronze gold medal. How cool is that?
That is very cool. It does beg the question, were either one of them, did they win this while either smoking a cigarette or holding a beer? Because curling always reminds me that that's the kind of sport you could actually do those things and compete in it. But
I don't think so. I didn't see any photos. Benji Harrell and Ella Wendling, a sophomore and a junior. So that's probably awesome. Not those things. Yes. And they competed on the same ice where the U.S. men's team took the gold during the 2018 Winter Games. So they're excited.
Congratulations. That's about great that. Work. All mm-hmm. right. Good cool. deal. And then we've got the story of Madison researchers working with NASA on something for the International Space Station.
Yeah, they're growing tomato seeds. And then last week, the shuttle went up to the space station, International Space Station, and they sent these tomato seeds up with them, and they're going to do a different test and see how they perform in gravity, how they grow. And then the astronauts will send them back down, and this team from Madison will look into it and try to develop this more.
That's awesome. For reasons I don't remember now, but I had to go back and look at something about the plot of The Martian with Matt Damon. And so, you know, remember the whole, did you see that about having to grow potatoes?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how you fertilize the crop on Mars, you know? Mm-hmm. So if they find ways to grow tomatoes and other things without the plot twist that Matt Damon had to deal with, then that would be a good thing in terms of growing your crops in space. So okay. I just have to leave it there without any spoilers that would make people go, oh, poopy, he spoiled the plot twist in growing those
I was thinking potatoes. That's what that was. Yes. Uh-huh. These guys, the astronauts up there now, did have a little mishap. They were growing tomatoes before and they lost a tomato. So, and the guy was like, I didn't eat it. I'm serious. And then he came back down and then another group went up or something. This is the story. And then they're like, okay, we found the tomato because it floated off somewhere. Well, that's so this is a big story. I don't know.
But they suspected one of the astronauts of eating
something one of the like tomatoes. That, yeah.
How can he eat your science experiment?
Uh-huh. We found the tomato. It was a bit. When I was looking into this, then I was finding all these other things about growing tomatoes in space.
This weekend, we had lost a pair of scissors. Now they don't float away here, although sometimes you'd think that they do. And we lost them about 2-3 weeks ago. When do you find a lost object? When are you most likely going to find an object that you lost?
When you're just walking past it with no reason.
Nope. When you buy the replacement.
Oh, we were
at Target over the weekend, picked up a 2-pack of scissors. And then the next day, yesterday, Sherry comes in the house and goes, I found the scissors. And they were on the workbench out in the garage. We looked all over the house, but neither one of us remembers bringing the scissors out to the workbench.
You lost the scissors? Are you sure you didn't lose Sia?
Oh, stop it. See, now that's not, we didn't even tell that story on air about Pat mixing up SZA and Sia, but I did think of, and isn't that just, who is it? David Letterman hosting the Oscars? Uma, Oprah, Uma, Sia, SZA. Yeah, I would have brought David Letterman out for that, but again, that's an old bit. Maybe a lot of people didn't get that one. Selena, how are you healing up after the slipping on the ice injury? About the only time that we had ice all winter as we get set to hit 50 degrees again. Lucky you. But
no kidding. And then we were talking about, you know, at school, the only other time really was like Halloween, and it was freezing and we had snow and it was so awful during Halloween. It's like, and then that time I'm doing pretty good, way better than I was. So I'm getting around better and I'm not using a walker, which the doctor told me I should do.
you were really concerned about that for a time.
Well, I thought, oh, how's this gonna, I'm not sure. I was supposed to use a walker.
All right. It would make things a little tougher, but no, we're glad that's not the case. And so, all right. Anything else this week, you know, you're working on already, or are we still putting things together to get the week started?
It's sports, women in sports month. So trying to get things together for that. So hopefully some fun pieces coming up.
See, I like putting that out there because that way, you know, if you're working on a story and somebody hears it, they can, you know, they can send us a note. Please. And say yes, by all means. And you can see what Selena's working on. Her most recent video piece is about the hospital closings in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. And again, head over to Up North News social media sites and you can see what Selena's working on there. All right. Thanks for the check-in. I'll talk to you a little later in the day, and folks here on the radio, talk to you next Monday.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
All right. We'll see you later. Then coming up next, we've got all of our friends from Motherhood for Good in here to talk about gun safety at home and Vice President Kamala Harris's recent visit to Wisconsin. That and more coming up next, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, 7:34 on this Monday morning, February 5th, and it's another Motherhood Monday with our friends from Motherhood for Good. That would include Kate Duffy, Aaron Phillips, Danielle Scampini, Lynn, and we'll see if Emily Tyne drops in as well. Ladies, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Doing great.
Nice to have you all here. We've got a couple of topics that we're going to get to. We'll talk about gun violence prevention in just a bit. But Kate did want to ask you about the recent Wisconsin visit by Vice President Kamala Harris, who, like the president that week, also came to Wisconsin, paying a lot of attention to Wisconsin overall, Wisconsin issues, Wisconsin voters, but in your case, you know, Wisconsin women and the issues that they needed to hear about. What was the day like during her visit to Big Bend?
Yeah, well, not unlike Travis Kelce, Wisconsin is officially on the map. I mean, I know it always has been, but we're gearing up for another really important political season and election. And there's a lot going on here, and the people at the top are noticing. So, yeah, Vice President Harris was here a couple weeks ago to actually kick off. She had the first stop on her Fight for Reproductive Freedoms tour. And so she came and talked to an audience here just outside of Milwaukee about, which was also very timely because it was just after also our state legislature had introduced yet another attempt at a different abortion ban, which I think we talked about last time that we were on. So she came to talk to the crowd in Wisconsin about women's rights and the importance of restoring those rights, protecting those rights, kind of go through the different things that they are doing at an executive level from that branch to try to be able to protect those rights, and kind of talk a little bit about the alternative and what we could see if we go back to another Trump presidency and the different things his team and policymakers are starting to line up that would kind of strip those rights away in a post-Dobbs world. So really interesting to hear from her, of course, always. Really, I think, important for the people of Wisconsin to see how much they're prioritizing kind of being here and being in front of us with these policy issues that they're talking about. And yeah, had a chance to like be able to spend a little time with her and communicate with her in a couple different scenarios. And it was so lovely. She's just so wonderful and down to earth and easy to talk to and genuinely cares, was doing just as much listening as talking, if not more, and just really wants to know how the people in our community here are doing, how they're holding up, what they're worried about, how the administration can help. So it was a really wonderful opportunity.
And we all got to see a video that Kristen Bry put together because she too was part of the group of people that got to meet the vice president, you know, behind the scenes. And having done that myself with then Vice President Biden and with First Lady Michelle Obama, it's a long tortured process of checkpoints and hurry up and wait and trade this line for that line. But then you get to meet those particular people, and for as busy as they are, as much as they're juggling the thousands of people they talk to, they really are good at letting, you know, putting that focus right on you in that moment that you're talking to them. And I'm sure you felt that same way about the vice president.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was just, again, we didn't realize, we thought we were just going to be in the photo line, but there was four of us who are, you know, we're in some sort of creators group, and they like told us to go last. And we like didn't really know what was happening. And they said, well, we're actually, you guys are creators kind of making social media things, so you can be last and you can actually bring your phones in with you and you can talk to her a little bit and ask some questions and things like that. So we didn't know that till right before. Of course, it's hurry up and wait. And also, you don't really know exactly what's going to happen, so you just go with the flow. And so we went, they took us to a room and she came in and she just talked to us and, you know, had some real conversations about what it's like and just, you know, expressed and provided solidarity and support. And I mean, it's so incredible to be able to get to have a conversation with somebody at that level, but also that just feels like a very human to human interaction.
So Aaron and Danielle, from your standpoint, you know, from the event and the visit and the focus on, you know, women's healthcare rights, you know, what did it mean to you that she had a visit that was focused that sharply, Danielle?
You know, first of all, the fact that they kicked off the event her tour in Wisconsin really shows not only how important the state is for the reelection campaign, but how important it is for reproductive rights all across the country. And seeing her speak was incredible. And also the lineup of people they had before her, just the, you know, from Tammy Baldwin to people from Planned Parenthood to hearing a first-hand account from an OBGYN talking about the healthcare provider perspective when Roe was overturned and the choices that they were going to have to make day to day, and how I just, as much as I knew that that was a thing, I did not put myself in the perspective of someone who is there to provide care and whose life could completely change because they're trying to do their job. And so just that entire event was just, it was so important to hear all of those different perspectives. Representative Gwen Moore told a harrowing story about a woman who ended up dying in childbirth after her 12th pregnancy because she, even though doctors had said, you know, this probably isn't right for your body, she just, you know, in her mind, it wasn't the right thing to do because that's what she had been told. And it was just hearing these stories and these different accounts, it just, it really highlighted how important this topic is, not only for re-election, but just for the true everyday lives of Wisconsinites and people across the country. So, and really important that they focused on that.
And Aaron, lest we think that, you know, that people are spending too much time on this issue, you know, like Kate noted, the legislature at that very moment was taking up the possibility of, you know, a 14-week ban. And so, again, I don't think you can talk about this topic too much.
Agreed completely. And as both Kate and Danielle have mentioned, you know, it is so striking to see that the vice president, yeah, kicked off this nationwide tour here, as such a sort of just a stark demonstration that this administration gets the severity of this issue. They get that we can't stop talking about it, like you're saying, and in fact, it sort of is deserving of its own focus of an entire tour across the nation to make sure people are sort of, if they're not already aware of the sort of depth of the severity of this, make sure they are aware and make sure they're engaged and recognize what's going on in their state. You know, we are not the only state where legislatures are continuing to try to impose these bans, be they 14 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever. We all know now what they're trying to do and what rights they're trying to restrict, and that what our chances are to fight back on that. And it's ensuring that we, you know, keep Biden in office and make sure no nationwide bans can go into place on a federal level. So, I mean, it's just, it's so striking to see that they get it, and that they saw that we were a really important place to start.
And unfortunately, again, the legislative branches in Washington and in Madison are focused so much on restricting, you know, women's healthcare rights, when there are other things they could be working on, like trying to keep our kids from dying, you know, from gun violence. And clearly they're not. And so in the absence of any action there, Kate, you have, you know, action happening from the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention for things that, you know, people can do without having to wait for politicians to, you know, give a damn about kids' lives. Kate, tell us about the kinds of things that they're working on.
Yeah, it seems like that would be a noble cause and maybe policy priority. But since it's not, also the Biden-Harris administration stood up the first ever White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention earlier just this past year. And we've been able to meet with them a couple times now and communicate with them. I actually was able to meet with the deputy directors when I was out in DC a couple months ago. And they are just doing incredible work in the gun violence prevention space that is separate from, you know, Congress and legislative action. Of course, they still, you know, we're always going to be pushing for that and they still want that, but they're really coming at gun violence prevention from all these different creative ways that's really going to help make an impact in communities and make a difference. And I was sat in on a briefing with them on Friday. So it was the Office of Gun Violence Prevention and the Department of Education, and they've been working together to put together a new resource and initiative around safe storage solutions. And I just put up a post this morning, and I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end and how people can kind of get involved and take action. But safe storage is something that should be so easy to do. And there's so many different entry levels and price points. And I think it's just something that people need to be more educated about, because as we know, guns are the number one killer of children and teens in this country. But here's a couple other stats that I think people might not know. So 76% of accidental shootings of children were committed with unsecured guns from the home. 76% of school shootings are committed with guns taken from the home. And 80% of firearm suicides by children involved a gun belonging to a family member. So we know that access, just having access to firearms directly and exponentially, increases risk of firearm injury or death. And including simple solutions to just lock those up is going to be really helpful. And of course, we're pushing for solutions legislatively in both Wisconsin and at the federal level. But as you mentioned, this sometimes can take a while. So this approach that the Office of Gun Violence Prevention and the Department of Education is taking is they've worked together with other key leaders to put together resources and a customizable template that they've sent out now to all districts and all school principals, encouraging them to read through it and customize this template for their audience and send this message home to parents, families, caregivers, just encouraging the use of safe storage solutions if they are a home that has firearms in them. It's non-judgmental, it's nonpartisan, it's a really helpful guide, and it's something they're doing that is directly impacting the community, and they're hoping our community members and anybody who has a child in school will reach out to their principals and ask them to review this documentation and send a letter out to all the families in the district.
And Danielle, I know it sounds, in some ways, it seems, you know, self-evident that, of course, you should have this. You know, why do we harp on it? Because we continue to see stories that it seems quite clear, you know, children would not be injured and killed if safe storage were more of a thing in the home level. And so it is still a very necessary message.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this is my second year having a kid in the public elementary system. And I mean, to me, this is a no-brainer. You know, it's something that we can do, that we can advocate for kids, just their basic safety, you know, and it's something that regardless of your political views, everyone wants their kids to be safe at school and everyone wants their kids to be safe at home. So why would we not just want to at least put this bare minimum, just keep your kids safe from any incident that, you know, anyone who has had an incident like this happen, I'm sure they never in a million years thought that a kid was going to get access to their gun or whatever it is. So just having that in place, it just takes that away. And then it's just such a simple thing that we can do to get this, you know, moving in the right direction.
And Aaron, you're going to wrap things up just talking about the Motherhood for Good Instagram site, because the other post that's on there is Taylor Swift looking at her new Grammy adoringly and a post that says, you know, what was it? Me looking at my absentee ballots arriving in the mail. Very on message over there for the group.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anytime we can make content that, and I mean, really, this is Kate's wheelhouse, but anytime we can make content that is tapping into what's going on in the sort of public sphere in pop culture, you know, it always makes it feel a little more accessible. Anytime you can make politics fun, that's a great grab, right? So
especially somebody like Taylor. Oh, you know, because she's always about encouraging people to vote. And who knows how many people she has actually, you know, facilitated their registering to vote. So good on them, right?
Well, and we're not scared of Republicans being scared of her. So we'll just play into that a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. Hopefully she does do some more sort of voter registration awareness again this cycle. That would be great. We love that.
I don't doubt that at all. So great job, all of you, for doing that. Thank you so much for being with us again. Have a great week.
Hi,
all right. When we come back, Terry Bell with three things you need to know to start the week. Live from Lake Wissota, you're up north. All right, here's Civic Media News Director Terry Bell with three things you need to know to start the week. Terry, good morning. How was your weekend?
Good morning, Pat. I had a really nice weekend, very restful and relaxing back in Gays Mills in the Driftless region. Very peaceful, and had some dynamite pizza, man. Some of the best pizza you'll ever have is in Soldiers Grove, Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I'm clear to make an endorsement or not of...
I think you can tell us where you went for pizza. I think
Country Garden. Country Garden restaurant in Soldiers Grove, Wisconsin. Get the pizza. Trust me.
The Driftless region also sounds really cool.
It really is. It is so beautifully ancient. It's just such a beautiful part of the world. And it's where I happen to grow up. And I like to get back every 4 to 6 weeks or so and just renew myself. It's a wonderful place.
I would love to see, and this is something we kind of specialize in with at Up North News, is like Wisconsin day trips. And either we've created lists or other people have created lists. I saw one recently that I immediately bookmarked. It was a waterfall road trip, like 6 different waterfalls you could see in state and county parks over like a 2-hour period up north.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to see the same for like, you know, a Driftless region road trip, but also pizza road trips. You know, if you had a weekend, go to like these 4 places and try their pizzas out over the course of a weekend.
Yeah.
Or a summer bucket list.
The history and the culture of Wisconsin, every single piece, and the pizza. We really want pizza. Yeah, pizza.
Well, because of the and why? We talk about this all the time. The cheese. The Wisconsin cheese.
Pat, if you're ever down by me in Racine, Kenosha area, let me know. I'll take you to some of the best thin crust pizza you've ever had in your entire life.
Ooh, I like the sound of that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Meanwhile, Terry's here on business as well, as he does every week, to give us three things you need to know to start the week. And one of them is about the presidential primary on April 2nd. I would expect President Biden will do pretty well, but he is no longer uncontested, shall we say, because of the state Supreme Court ruling on Friday.
Right. The good old Friday news dump came down a little later than normal last week, and the Supreme Court ordered that Dean Phillips, the Democratic congressman from Minnesota who's running for president, should be on the Wisconsin ballot. Now, back when the names were certified to be on the Wisconsin ballot back in January, the Democratic Party only submitted Joe Biden's name, and the justices ruled with Phillips that he ought to be on, that he'd met the criteria to be on the ballot, and there was no reason to keep him off. I suspect it's not going to make a big difference. Joe Biden should win the primary handily. But Phillips did, I believe, get 20% of the votes in New Hampshire, which, you know, in a primary against an incumbent president, that's not a great look. And I think that kind of supports everything we've been seeing in the polling about the support for President Biden amongst Democrats being broad, but maybe not as deep as he'd like.
Well, maybe. Again, we've noted that the election is, 9 months from today, which
quite
is a lifetime in politics.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Biden only got 96% of the vote in the South Carolina primary. But I think the real issue here, and it was a proper spanking, shall we say, to the Democratic members of that committee. If they'd even at least considered Dean Phillips and then said no, but apparently they never even discussed it. And so, no. You know, the justices were right to say, you have to at least try to follow a process. And they didn't.
Yeah.
And so that will be on there. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court is also going to be in the news this week, and again was last week, as they move toward fairer legislative maps. Where are we in that process?
Right. So we're a little bit further down the line, maybe not as far as we thought we might be at this point, but the Supreme Court hired two experts to consult with them. And what they did on Thursday night was rule out two maps that were primarily drawn by Republicans. They kept four primarily Democratic drawn maps in play, but they didn't recommend any of them. In fact, they said that the four maps that are still on the table are practically indistinguishable from one another, and they didn't say anything about how to proceed. So I guess that'll be up to the justices, but there's not a lot of time left. All the parties have until February 8th, which I believe is Thursday to respond.
Yeah.
And then the Supreme Court has set a deadline of March 15th. Or actually, I think the Elections Commission may have set that March 15th deadline. Because even in a primary all the way out in August, you have to have things in place by mid-February in order for an August election to go off successfully.
That's right. So, you know, things are moving along. We'll get those responses Thursday. I'm sure we'll have something to talk about there Friday morning as that moves forward. And then, of course, it wouldn't be a presidential year without polling of all kinds, some reliable, some not, some concerning, some not. But yeah, there's you know, new numbers about Wisconsin.
Right. So this one was last week, the Bloomberg Morning Consult poll. It's notable, and the reason why I wanted to talk about it is because this is the first one that I'm aware of that either Biden or Trump is polling outside the margin of error. So I think that's why this is significant. And this one has Trump with a 5-point lead, 49% to 44%, in a poll where the margin of error was plus or minus 4%. So that's something to take into consideration. Also, something I'm sure the Biden campaign is very aware of is the fact that 68% say the economy is on the wrong track, when an objective look at the numbers says that the economy is on the right track. So I'm sure this has been mentioned on your show many times, but the White House has a bit of a messaging challenge to overcome here, because perceptions in politics, as in a lot of things, is reality, and the perceptions don't seem to be lining up with the reality.
Perhaps. That's my transition to say that Courier Newsroom has a new podcast called Vibes Only,
nice,
where hosts Brian Derrick and Glenys Mahar call out a lot of the BS that is skewing how Americans feel about the economy and democracy itself. But here's another way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Speed skating. Did you ever look in the Olympics, not the short track ones, but those really long speed skating races?
Okay.
Where for like the first, whatever it is, 11 laps, you know, they're going so slow and the pack is all together. And then the 12th lap is like this big old sprint. And nobody ever starts out early in that, because you will completely wear out and the rest of the field will catch up with you. So it's the sprint at the end. That's a presidential campaign. Yeah, I mean, they could be hammering away an economic message now, but to me, it's like if I'm advising either campaign, it's like you just wait till we get closer to that last lap, and then you pour it on when more voters are paying attention. So bookmark this show, and we'll see if I am the newest best presidential election pundit because of my parallel to Olympic speed skating. Thank you. Thank you very
much.
I better trademark this one. Terry Bell, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat.
Mr. Bach, we'll see you for Matt and Air on Air a little later this morning.
Indeed.
On the Civic Media Radio Network. And thanks to the rest of you for joining us for Up North News Radio for this Monday morning. Make it a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.